turn to Genesis chapter 41, verse 38. Genesis chapter 41. We're going to start in verse 38. Is everybody there? Everybody there? Everybody ready? All right, let's go. Let's read it. Let's read it. So Pharaoh asked his officials, "Can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God?" And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a higher rank than yours." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt." And Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand, placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen, hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, "Kneel down." So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, "I'm Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval." We've been talking about the armor of God. And this church has been under attack. I know so many of you individually that have been under attack. But I came to tell some people and to remind some others. He tried. But he failed. He's been trying. But he failed. He tried to take you out, but he failed. Y'all gonna get me going real early. He tried, but he failed. When the doctor report said one thing, he tried, but he failed. And the time is coming real soon when the enemy that's been attacking you is getting ready to come and kneel down. Because he tried, but he failed. He tried, but he failed. I can't, some of y'all need to hear me this morning. He tried, but he failed. He tried to take you out of your mind, but he failed. Woo! Man. Lord, pierce our hearts and pierce our minds this morning. As we remember and are reminded that he tried, but he failed. Healing and deliverance is coming in the house this morning. People are being set free in the house this morning. People are being set free of depression, anxiety, fear, worry, bondage that's been holding them down for year after year, generation after generation. He tried, but he failed.
All right, Lord, we love you.
Let us leave here changed today through this word. Let my mouth be your mouth, my tongue be your tongue, my words be your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all sit down. As you're sitting down, tell somebody next to you, he tried, but he failed. All right. We just got out of the message series on the armor of God. How many of you enjoyed the armor? How many of you enjoyed that? How many of you enjoyed that? Well, we talked about Spiritual warfare, understanding what the armor is, understanding each piece and its purpose. But more than anything, what I want us to grasp today through the story of Joseph, I started in chapter 41, but I'm actually going to go a little bit further back, okay? I'm going to walk through the story of Joseph. Worry gone. Spirit of worry out of her and gone. He tried, but he failed. You hear me? He tried, but he failed. We've been talking about the armor, and the armor, here's the thing that a lot of us, we have to remember. I'll just recap just a little bit, because the story of Joseph is a really good story to help us understand what it means to be in a fight your entire life, okay? And the thing about the armor that we talked about, it's about the individual pieces, yes, but it's about how they work together collectively, right? How does that, you know, when you put armor on, it belongs to God, which means you're in the army of God. But the problem a lot of times is that what we don't think about is the fact that a military is who wears an armor. Civilians don't wear armor. Militaries wear armor. And for so long, the church, especially the church in America, has failed to remember and understand you're part of an army, which means you have a larger purpose, which is to fight back against darkness, which means you have to fully surrender yourself and put on what only God can give you so that you and I can fight together. Oftentimes what happens with the church world is that we don't want to fight together. We're worried about what God can do for us. Then when we watch somebody else fail, when we watch somebody else fall, when we watch somebody else stumble, we become more judgmental than helpful. See, in the military, when you see a man down, you go get him. You pick him up. You say, here I am, I'm going to help you up, because here's the deal. You and all, we know, from a spiritual standpoint, we all fall short of the glory of God. We will all fail. We will all fall. But the church has got to be a place where we help people, brothers and sisters in Christ, that when they fall, we make sure that they know you may have fallen, but you haven't failed. Because God is a God who's a victorious God. He's a God who is with us, never leaves us, never forsakes us. And if you and I are supposed to be the army of God, when someone falls, we pick him up. And so as we move through this story of Joseph, it's incredible to watch just how amazing this story is, where it seems like Joseph's on an island all on his own. Right? So when we go back to I want to go back all the way to chapter 37. We're going to go four chapters back, if my math is right. 41 minus 37, 4. I can still do math. Been out of school for a while, but arithmetic, it's still. All right. Back in 37 is where the story starts, and his family, many of you know this story, but I'm going to walk through it anyways, because I like to walk back through stories, especially for people who are new to the faith. Maybe you haven't read this, or maybe you need a refresher really quick. But back in chapter 37, before we get to this portion of scripture, Joseph has a dream, and he tells the dream to his brothers and his parents, and he says, I had a dream that I was standing and the sun, a moon, and 11 stars bowed at my feet. And his daddy looks at him and said, you think I'm gonna bow down to you, homie? What's wrong with you? You my seed. Chill out. And he rebuked him, okay? He rebukes him. That brings me to something real quick. Be careful who you share your dreams with. Just because you have one don't mean you need to say it to people. So, We get to verse 18, and I want to read this really quick. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. Oh, my God. Here comes the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. Which lets me know this is not an isolated incident, right? This is something that he does all the time. We just see the story of one thing, but it's something that he's known for. And they can't stand it. Let's go verse 20. Let's finish this before I get into this. Come on, let's kill him. What is it with brothers in the Bible wanting to kill each other? I mean, right from the jump, right? Let's kill him. Throw him in one of these cisterns. A pit is another thing for it. We can tell our father wild animal eat him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. So when we're in spiritual battles and we're in a fight, right, when we talk about these spiritual battles that we face on a daily basis, the reason why we have to have the armor is the reason why, right, because we're in a battle every single day, right? Right? Remember that? We're in a battle every day. We're in a fight for our lives. We're in a fight for our souls. We are constantly fighting against the spiritual world, the wickedness and all the dark places in the spirit realm, the unseen realm. And the thing about battles and fights is like you love to know who your family, who your team is, right? Who your team is. Who can you count on? Who can you rely on? Who is it that you can come to and say, I know if I talk to this person, they got my back. They ain't gonna judge me. They ain't gonna hate on me. I'm good. Like they're gonna be there for me. Now, I don't know about you, but like, you know, were you ever raised hearing like blood's thicker than water? You remember that? Y'all ever, anybody heard that? Yeah, blood's thicker than water. It's crazy to me that so oftentimes I get around people and they'll say, I'm sorry, my family's crazy. I'm like, bro, I know it. I know your family's crazy. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what I say. No, I say, no, we all got them too, right? We all got the crazies in our family. The one we label's nuts. Off their rocker. Something's genuinely wrong with that person. Always causing fights. Coming in with crazy eyes. Acting all weird. Getting on my nerves. Right? Y'all got that. Everybody's got that. Everybody got one of those in their family. If not multiple of those in your family. But at the end of the day, like, family's supposed to be somebody that you can go to, talk to, lay all your problems out in front of. Also, share your wins with. Like, and one thing that we do here, especially at staff meeting, like at our all staff, what we do when all of our staff comes together, what we do is we sit down and the very first thing we do, we call them shout outs. And we start to just, we talk about something good that we saw that somebody else did. And then we go around the room and we read, everybody reports like what's been going on in their department. And they talk about how the numbers have grown and the people that have been saved and the people that have been baptized and the people that we've fed and the outreach that we've done and the ministry that we've done and the healings and deliverances. We're talking about all these things. And it's like, so oftentimes, we go to our family and we're like, man, like, listen to what's going on. And that's what Joseph's doing here. He's like, I got this dream. I got this gift from God. I want to share this with you really quick. And everything he shares with them, they hate him for. Right? Like, our spiritual battles, here's something you need to understand. When you're in a spiritual battle, you got to understand, number one, okay, as the church and as family members and as people, when someone comes to you with a problem, when someone comes to you with something that's happened in their life, that's a struggle, that's an issue, don't judge them for it. Don't act like you want to kill them if it's something that's good. Be there for them. But as a believer and as someone who's a child of God in the army of God, you got to understand that attacks are going to come from your family. Come on, there are going to be times where you let your guard down with your family and they're going to attack you worse than any other person ever could think of. And that's why it's important that you pray over your family daily. You pray for them. And you keep your guard up. Because unfortunately, more times than not, our family's the one that judges us, criticizes us, condemns us, and desires to kill us the most. How many of you have been there? How many of you have a family member that you're just like, man, I can't get past what happened to me? I want to encourage you. Here's what happened after this. But when Reuben heard of their scheme, that's one of his brothers, he came to Joseph's rescue. He said, let's not kill him. Even though you have people that hate you, even though you have people that want to kill you, even though you have people who want to kill your dreams, they want to kill your body, they want to kill your desires, your goals, they want to kill everything about you. Even though you ain't even there when they're plotting, God will always send somebody. Just because you don't see God working doesn't mean he's not working. Just because you don't see him moving don't mean he's not moving. Just because you know somebody's talking bad about you does not mean he's not sending somebody into the room to say, hold on just a second. Hold on just a minute. Right? Because the plan of the enemy is always to steal, kill, or destroy. And his brothers are trying to do everything, all that, at the same time. So I want to go to verse 26. I'm going to read one more thing, and then we're going to go to verse 39, or chapter 39. Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain by killing our brother? We'd have to cover up the crime. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to the Ishmaelite traders. After all, he's our brother, our own flesh and blood. His brothers agree. Check this out. So when the Ishmaelites, who were Midianite traders, came by, Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern, sold him for 20 pieces of silver. How cheap. That's all I was worth. That's what I would be thinking. I'm like, you sell me, you better sell me for something good. You know what I mean? How many times have you been sold out in your life? You went to somebody. You talked to them about your vision or your dreams. You talked to them about what God's like placed in your heart. All these desires. Or maybe you confide in someone about how you feel about someone else, about what's been going on in your life. You confide in them, and then all of a sudden they turn on you, sell you out for 20 pieces of silver. So his brothers wanted to kill him. God gave him a gift, right? God gave Joseph a gift. His brothers couldn't stand him for it. His dad was aggravated at him, rebuked him for it. They hated him, and then they decided to sell him out. They had a plan, but it failed. Because when we get to third verse, chapter 39, it says, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Oh, that's a high level place to be in. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. So listen to this. This pleased Potiphar, so he made Joseph his personal attendant, put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. They had a plan, but it failed. The enemy wanted to use his family against him. But it failed. I'm telling you, there are some things that you are going through right now where your family has plotted against you because they can't stand you for one reason or another. You got friends, you got work family, you got friends in your life. You know they can't stand you. And for some reason you feel like maybe even your boss is plotting against you. And you feel powerless. Right? Because 11 against 1, ain't much power there. there may be a plan in place against you. But as long as you serve God and you are a child of His, He may have a plan, but it's going to fail. Because of the grace of God, because of the blood that He shed on Calvary, He has not come so we would have a poor life. He has come so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. There's a plan that's been put against you, but there's an entire army of people here at LifeGate holding you up in prayer. You got a team of people here that say, no, no, no. I see there's been a plan against you, but we're getting ready to thwart that plan. All right, so we go through chapter 39. Yeah, that's great. And I almost, because right, I'm going to read from 37, then I'm going to read from 39, and then I'm going to read from 40, and then I might not read from 40, but I'll tell you the story. And then we'll go to 41 and then end in 42, because I just decided to end in 42. But if you notice, there's a number missing there. It's 38. Because see, right in the middle of the story, something interesting happens. There's a story about Judah and Tamar. Now, if you know the story of Judah and Tamar, I'm not going to tell you the whole thing. Y'all go read it. I ain't got time. Y'all can go home and read the story of Judah and Tamar. Genesis 38. But I'm going to get the point out real quick because I got to move on. See, the name Judah has a meaning behind it. There's no... It's not insignificant that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In the Old Testament, when you were going to the tent of meeting, you had to go through the camp of Judah before you could get to the tabernacle. And the reason for that is because it just seems like Judah's in the middle of everything. You want to know why Judah's in the middle of everything? Because the name Judah means praise. There are times in your life when you'll be going through hell. There are times in your life when you would be being stabbed in your back. There are times in your life when you'll be going through torment, torture, depression, all kinds of things that are attacks that are coming your way. But in the middle of it, Jesus says, just praise me. Just praise me. When the doctor says you got 6 weeks to live, praise me. When the enemy attacks, praise me. When it seems like the bank account has run dry, praise me. Now y'all getting about, I'm about to start running actually. Because I keep thinking about all the times in my life where I've been in the middle of a mess. I've been in the middle of a pit, it feels like. It feels like I've been in a place where there's no way out. And I need God to pick me up or part the Red Sea. And I know that the only way through my mess is to praise Him. Because there's a reason why He puts praise in the middle of messes. It's because if you call on the name of Jesus, He says, call on me in the day of trouble. Praise me when the mess hits the fan. Praise me all the time, because on the other side, I'm there. I'm making a way. I'm forging a path. I am making and preparing a place for you. I'm planning a way out. And every single time it seems like you see a mess in the Bible, every single time, it just seems like Judah's in the middle. Because you have to understand and learn to praise Him, because praise leads to a place of thankfulness. And once you become thankful, it starts to heal your soul, starts to heal your mind, starts to heal your body, but it starts with praise, because praise is a weapon, because it comes from your mouth like a sword that comes out. It's a weapon that goes against your enemies and says, I don't care what you're doing to me right now, I will praise you. I will praise you, Lord. I will call on your name. Okay, so let's go back to 39. So, When we look at chapter 39, what we see is the first time, well, really the second time, that Joseph has found favor. Do you know what favor is? Favor is something that goes to God's favorites. Oh, you didn't think he has favorites? He created us. We got favorites. Oh, come on. Some of y'all parents that act like you ain't got a favorite kid, lying through your teeth. Trust me, you can't hide it. Every time you're around, you have your favorites. Do y'all like every single football team? No? Yeah? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. How many Dogs fans in the house? How many of y'all would ever cheer for Alabama? No way. No, I'm talking about Dogs fans. Any Dogs fans in the house, would you ever cheer for Alabama? Oh, okay. See, you see the applause went really quiet because you have a favorite. Did you cheer for Georgia and Tennessee at the same time yesterday? Right. Because you have a favorite. There's so many times in the Bible where God shows favor. Favor goes to his favorites. Now, here's the deal. His favorites are not the ones who do the right thing all the time. His favorites are the ones who look most like him. Because you like people that are like you. So when you find favor with God, I mean, look at David. How many times did David mess up? How many times is it written about that David messed up in the Bible? Lots of times. But it said he loved David and that Jesus himself would come from the seed of David. He loved David because David was a man after his heart. How many songs did he write about the Lord? How many psalms did he write, y'all? How many times he just sit down and write to the Lord? God, I love you. I praise you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear evil because you're with me. I love you, Lord. I praise you on the Timberland dance. Praise you on the high sand assemblies. I praise you. Because let everything that has breath praise you, Lord. He wrote psalm after psalm after psalm because he loved God so much that he had to write it down and get it out of his system. It's not about who follows the rule book the best. Who messes up the least amount of times. Favor comes to people who are after God's heart, who love him, who desire to live a life that pleases him. And sometimes you'll mess up, but is your heart's desire to please him? Sometimes you might not do it, but if it's your heart's desire, when you mess up and you go back to him and you repent and you say, God, forgive me. I recognize my issues and flaws. He loves someone who's willing to come to him and say, God, I got to be cleaned up. I'm not going to let pride get in my way. I'm coming to you. Because I know I love you so much, I don't want you to look at me. I don't want to mourn your Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve you. He shows favor to those who he chooses because those are the ones that are after his heart. But even then, he shows favor. Okay, now let's go to verse 6 and 7 in chapter 39. I want to look at this. Now let's look at this. Not a lot of y'all know about this. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was very handsome. He's very handsome. Oh, yeah. Woo! I gotta go. Y'all, somebody come get me today. Dear Lord. Very handsome, well-built young man. Got them broad shoulders. Potiphar's wife. My God, a woman again. What are we gonna do with y'all? Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come sleep with me. See, when God gives you something good, everybody else wants it too. That's the thing with finding favor. See, she was lusting after it with her eyes. Most people don't lust with it after their eyes. They lust after positions. They lust after money. They lust after your power. They lust after your influence. They lust. It all boils down to one thing that they really want. They want your anointing. See, that's the thing. People don't understand. Everybody sees things from the outside. And at the end of the day, if people would actually just say, I want that anointing. See, anointing hits people when people are anointed to do something. It's because they've accepted that what they have been given is sufficient. They accept that the gift that they have been given is sufficient as long as God anoints them to do that thing. And the problem with so many even church people and human beings in general is we don't want the giftings we've got. We want to sing on the stage. We want to be the mayor. We want to be the one in charge. We want something that somebody else has got. Instead of understanding that whatever God gave you, he gifted you with that thing for a purpose because you were called for such a time as this. But the problem is he's waiting to anoint you. He's waiting because you have not accepted. You keep lusting after someone else's anointing, someone else's gifting, someone else's calling. And if we as the church would come to a place where we just say, you know what? I don't want what they've got. I want what you've got for me. So here the enemy is, though, using somebody else to come in and attack. Because later down the road, down in the next part, all right, verse 8, Joseph refused, okay? He said, no. But then later in the story, Potiphar's wife starts shouting, he was trying to sleep with me, lying like a dog, a female one. About to get fired. I'm just kidding. There's always a line that I am stepping on. Lying on him. He has to put up with the lie and gets thrown in prison for it. Okay? But then when he gets to prison, the prison guard puts him in charge of the whole prison. So even though he's in prison, he ain't really in prison. Because the devil tried, but he failed. It seems like he always wants to attack. And here's the thing. It's always attack after favor. See, a lot of times we ask for favor, we ask for anointing, we ask for favor, we ask for anointing, we ask for favor. It happens again in chapter 40. God gives him favor again. He gives him favor to interpret the dreams of the baker and the cupbearer. He graduated. Because see, here's the thing. The way out of your mess, God will always gift you with it. Because in one season he was a dreamer, but now he is an interpreter. And it's the very thing that gets him out of prison. If you are going to ask for favor, you want the blessing, which we all do. We want you to increase, which we all do. God, increase my standing in your kingdom. Increase my finances so I can do something to help people more. Increase in my relationships so I have the ability to actually change the landscape of the area that I live in. God, increase. Give me favor. Give me increase. Give me favor. We all pray for it. But every time you pray for favor, you have to understand an attack is coming. Because the favor God wants to pour out on you is not something the enemy wants you to have. Because with favor, places are changed, people are changed, lives are changed. The kingdom of God forcefully advances when he pours out his favor, his anointing on his people. You have got to understand that every time an attack is going to come, every time he pours out favor. So at the same time of asking for favor and increase, you also have to be asking for protection. You have to be pleading the blood over your life, over your family's life. You have to understand an attack is coming every time favor is poured out, which requires us to have to pray for protection at the same time as praying for favor. Right? Because when we finally get to chapter 41, I want to make one more point, okay? One more point. We get to chapter 41, we go to verse 1. I want you to see something. I want to encourage you. 2 full years later. This is a time after Joseph gave the interpretation to the cupbearer and to the baker. 2 full years later, he asked the cupbearer. He said, in 3 days, you're getting out. Can you remember me when you get out, please? Tell Pharaoh about me. Just because God gives you a gift in one season, gives you the ability to help some people in one season, it may take some time before you receive what you ask for. Good things come to those who wait. So when I get into verse 38 through 44, where I actually read the text from, and it took me 38 minutes to get there. I really don't know if it took that long, but y'all know I don't preach like 12 minutes or anything. But that was my opening, so buckle up. I'm just kidding. I'm not about to preach for another 45 minutes. Could. If you want to hear more, you can come to my perspective classes on Wednesday nights. Absolutely shameless plug. We talk about the message on Sunday in a little bit deeper manner. It's in the fellowship hall, 6:30 on Wednesdays. It won't be this Wednesday because we have our community service at the Baptist Church, where Grove Level over there, 7 o'clock, where I'm preaching. They asked a Pentecostal boy to come into a Baptist church and expect for me not to dance all over the stage, shout my tail off. I told him, I said, I can't promise no tongues are coming out. But I am going to preach a message over there. We're going to dig into some spiritual warfare, and we'll see all the Methodist faces. The what? He say demon? Oh my, we out. I told him we were bringing the whole band. They're playing behind me like this. We're going to sing, we're going to shout, we're going to dance, and we're going to have an altar call. I'm just kidding. We're going full Pentecost. But when we got here to verse
38 through 44. I'm going to really quickly wrap this up because we do have lunch together downstairs, and I want to get down there. And we also have Membership Sunday today, Commitment Sunday. So before we get there, though, this portion of the text, I don't know if any of you have seen Finding Nemo. Have you seen that? If you watched it with your kids or grandkids. or just all by myself because I love Nemo. No, there's a character in it, Dory. And she says all the time, like, no matter what's going on, she says, just keep swimming. Like, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming, swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming, swimming. I wanted to really tell some of you this morning that there are so many times in life where it's going to feel like there's no path forward. You're going to feel like you're swimming against the current. You're going to feel like everything in life is against you. People are against you. Your family's against you. Your money's against you. Your job's against you. Your boss is against you. Everything hell has to throw at you is against you. But at some point in time, because we have the Spirit of God inside of us, the Bible tells me that one day every knee will bow and every knee is going to bow. Every demonic principality that's been after you, every demonic force that has come against you, every person you've ever come up against that has been at your throat trying to kill, steal, or destroy you. I'm telling you right now, a day is coming soon. A day is coming where you're going to be able to look that demon right in the mouth. You're going to look at him right in the eyes. You're going to look that person, and you're going to look at him, and you're going to be walking by with the Spirit of God in you, and they're going to have to kneel. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what hell you're facing right now. But what I do know is that the Bible is true. And if I look back over my life and I see all the times that the enemy attacked me, all the times he put me through hell, all the times I came up against family, friends, co-workers, everybody that I've been up against, every attack thrown my way, every person that ever hated me, to know that at the end of it, I want you to go to verse 43 in chapter 41. Wherever Joseph went, the command was kneel. There's coming a day, y'all. There's coming a day. I believe for some of you it's right now. I believe you've been having some spirits after you. And I believe there's some of you that are right now, you're going to lift your hands up and you're going to tell that demonic principality to kneel because you tried, but you failed. He tried, but he failed. I want you this entire week to speak that over your life. Every single time you feel an attack coming your way, every single time, every moment. No, no, no. You've been at this with this depression for a while, Satan. You sent your little minion demons after me with this depression. But no, 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 depression, kneel. Anxiety, kneel. Fear, kneel. Worry, kneel. Sickness, kneel. Cancer, kneel. Arthritis, kneel. Osteoporosis, kneel. Kidney failure, kneel. Liver disease, kneel. COPD, kneel. Attacks against my marriage, kneel. Attacks against my family, kneel.
attacks against my daughter, my granddaughter, my son, my grandson, my niece, my nephew, Neil. You tried, but you failed. You came after me in every way possible, but you failed. The day is coming and it's here where depression has no more place in my life, Neil. Anxiety has no more place in my life, Neil. You have the power of life and death in your tongue. It's time to look at your enemy, at depression, at fear, at worry, at hatred, at abandonment, murder. Some of you who were abused as a child, to tell that thing to kneel. To look at the principalities surrounding you, at the generational curses over your life, and say, kneel. Tell me I can't kneel. Today is the day. Now is the time. Speak life over your family. Speak life over your circumstances. Speak it over you. I speak it over each and every one of you that are in here today. And I want you to leave this place understanding that there is something inside of you that God has placed inside of you, a gift that the enemy is after. And today is the day that you recognize the anointing that is on your life. Today is the day that you recognize that an enemy has been attacking you because you were created for such a time as this, called for such a time as this, with a purpose for such a time as this, to not just live a life that is saved, but to live a life here on earth where we reign and dwell and push back the kingdom of darkness. So I'm gonna count to three. And on the count of three, I want you to yell, kneel. And as you say it, I want you to follow it up with the thing you've been battling. One, I don't care if it's depression, I don't care if it's anxiety, I don't care if it's worry, I don't care if it's been an attack against your family, I don't care if it's pride, I don't care what it is, but you know what you've been up against, and you know what you've come in here carrying. And then on the count of three, two, we are going to yell, kneel, and call that thing out right now. One, two, three, kneel. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. You can't have my family. One, two, three. You can't have my future. One, two, three. You cannot have my life. One, two, three. Come on, praise him. Come on, get his name out your mouth. Get his name out your mouth right now. Come on, we'll get downstairs in a little bit. Get your name out of his mouth right now. Get your name. Get his name out your mouth. Come on, call on the name of Jesus right now. Come on, call on the name of Jesus right now. Hey, come on, depression is leaving right now. Anxiety is leaving right now. Worry's leaving right now. Pride's leaving right now. Generational curses being broken right now. One, two, with all you got. Three, kneel. I command these spirits that have come in here, bind them people's tongues right now. I command you release their tongue. Let them give them a praise. Let them give Jesus a praise. I command it right now. Come on, let it go. Let it go. Come on, you're told it to Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You tried, but you failed. Devil, you tried, but you failed. You tried coming against marriages in the house, but you're failing. You tried coming against people's bodies with sicknesses, but today you failed. Just a minute. Come on. I want you to just call on the name of Jesus. If you got something extra to let go of, I just want you to reach your hands towards this way right here for some prayer. Final thing. Chapter 42. I love what happens in chapter 42. See, the Lord loves to do things, and that's really, really cool. I love to watch him do really cool things. And there's a moment in 42 where the enemy attacked, but God brought back together Joseph's family. Because see, here's the deal. In one season, the enemy can tear your family apart. He can use your family against you to rip you apart. But in chapter 42, God brought them back together. God's about to bring some of your families back together. And right now, let me tell you what, he tried to rip this church apart. He's done it for decades, trying to strip people away, trying to pull people in different directions, break this church family up. This church has a plan. This church has an anointing. This church has favor. This church has a future. He did not build it a long time ago to just let the enemy rip it apart for good. He's bringing people back.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you could get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.